Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. This Saturday marks the 35th anniversary for the Mormon Church in allowing all worthy male members to hold the priesthood. As you are probably aware, up until 1978, those of African heritage were not allowed to hold the priesthood, and this was reversed in June of 1978. And we're going to be discussing that, but we're going to be doing it a little bit differently than the way we normally do. And what we're going to do this week is we're going to look at, one, the first thing we're going to do today, is a letter that was written to Governor George Romney when he was the governor of Michigan. It was a letter that was written to him by Delbert Stapley, a Mormon apostle, on January 23, 1964. You might ask, well, why are you doing this? We want to show you what the general idea was back in the 1960s regarding the reason for the priesthood ban. Remember, modern Mormon leadership acts now as if they have no clue whatsoever as to why blacks were not allowed to hold the priesthood until 1978. If you ask Mormons, and they have been asked, and they have even said publicly that they just don't know. The fact of the matter is, many Mormon leaders were teaching many reasons why they felt the blacks were not allowed to hold the priesthood. One thing in particular that they all seemed to talk about is it had something to do with their performance in the pre-existence. Now, Mormonism teaches that we all existed as spirit children of God, and we could only progress so far in that pre-existent state, making it necessary for us to leave what Mormons call the first estate to come into this mortality, which is called the second estate, in order to prove our worthiness, in order to get back into the presence of Heavenly Father in the next. Mormon leaders taught that there was something that those of black skin did or did not do that prohibited them from getting the priesthood in this mortality. And that is one thing that is pretty consistent among many of the leadership. This letter to George Romney, who was the father of Mitt Romney, who ran for president in the last election, it's something that he was actually chastised for, I guess we would have to say, by Delbert Stapley, a Mormon apostle, who's calling him on the carpet for his position on civil rights. So we're going to read this letter to show you this typical pattern that we see in all the Mormon leaders prior to 1978 regarding the priesthood ban. So here's this letter. It's addressed Dear George, because they, I guess, were pretty close friends. This was just not a business letter. This was actually, as he says, he's writing as a friend to George Romney.
And it's dated January 23rd, 1964. And after an introduction of niceties in the first paragraph, he writes, "After listening to your talk on civil rights, I am very much concerned. Several others have expressed the same concern to me. It does not altogether harmonize with my own understandings regarding this subject. Therefore, I thought to drop you a note, not in my official church position, but as a personal friend. Only President McKay can speak for the church." Now, Bill, people can't see the letter that I'm reading from, but it's written with official church letterhead, 47 East South Temple Street, The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. All of that's at the very top. And so I find that to be fascinating, how he says, "I'm not writing officially," and yet he uses official letterhead.
That looks a little ominous, doesn't it?
And he says, "I felt, George, your views were most liberal on this vital problem in the light of the revelations." But
let me stop you there.
Yeah.
In light of the revelations.
Revelations. Mm-hmm.
That's how Delbert Stapley understood these teachings, mm-hmm. that they were a result of revelation, and that's important.
The teaching of the blacks and how they came to be.
Yes.
But nevertheless, he writes, I cannot deny you the right of your position if it represents your true belief and feelings. I would like to suggest you read two items on this subject, both by the prophet Joseph Smith. Turn to page 269 of Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith by Joseph Fielding Smith, and read beginning the middle of the page under the caption, The Status of the Negro, giving particular attention to the closing sentence on page 270.
Now, you have that book in your lap.
Sitting right here.
And you're looking at page 270.
And at the very last sentence that he's pointing to, this is what Joseph Smith said in Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith. He said, had I anything to do with the Negro, I would confine them by strict law to their own species and put them on a national equalization. The quote that we gave yesterday.
The very quote we read yesterday.
Yes, and so that's the one he's pointing to.
Okay.
And so he says that, and then he says also, read from History of the Church, Period 1, Volume 2, beginning on page 436 under the heading, The Prophet's Views on Abolition, which article continues to the bottom of page 440. After reading this last-mentioned statement by the prophet, then come back to the last paragraph on page 438 and give it some real thought.
Okay, I have the History of the Church, Volume 2, that he is...
It's nice having a library like
we
this,
Bill. We have the books. And here's what it says at the bottom of page 438. This is Joseph Smith speaking now. Trace the history of the world from this notable event down to this day, and you will find the fulfillment of this singular prophecy. What could have been the design of the Almighty in this singular occurrence is not for me to say. Notice he attributes it to the Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
You have some members of the church that will say, well, God didn't put the curse into place, but he lifted it. Well, this is not what we find in the writings and the teachings of Mormon leaders up until 1978. He says, but I can say the curse is not yet taken off the sons of Canaan, neither will it be until it is effected by as great a power as caused it to come. Now, does that kind of sound like Joseph Smith is pointing the finger at God himself for the reason for this? It goes on to say, and the people who interfere the least with the purposes of God in this matter will come under the least condemnation before him. And those who are determined to pursue a course which shows an opposition and a feverish restlessness against the decrees of the Lord. Again, if you're one of those Latter-day Saints and you think that God didn't have a hand in this, well, then you need to go read your own material. This is Joseph Smith that is doing the talking
mm-hmm.
here. The decrees of the Lord will learn when perhaps it is too late for their own good that God can do his own work and without the aid of those who are not dictated by his counsel. Does that sound a little bit threatening considering the context of the letter that Delbert Stapley is writing to George Romney?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, George, you better listen to what Joseph Smith said. Because you are in opposition to what the Lord has put in place. That's how I'm taking it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if I'm taking it wrong, maybe a Mormon who's listening could set me straight on this, but it certainly looks like it based on the reference that he tells George Romney to go read. Going on in the letter, the next paragraph.
When I reflect upon the prophet's statements and remember what happened to three of our nation's presidents who were very active in the Negro cause, I am sobered by their demise.
Sobered by their demise? I mean, he's talking about presidents that tried to further the cause of the blacks, and he's looking at that as that they should have not done.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
They went contrary to the teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, unwittingly, no doubt. But nevertheless, the prophecy of Joseph Smith, quote, those who are determined to pursue a course which shows an opposition and a feverish restlessness against the decrees of the Lord will learn, when perhaps it is too late for their own good, that God can do his own work without the aid of those who are not directed by his counsel, end quote, has and will continue to be fulfilled.
So I have a question. Does this not sound like Mormon apostle Delbert Stapley firmly believe that God dictated the social status of blacks at that time?
Well, because he's going right back to Joseph Smith, which isn't that what Latter-day Saints are told to do?
He calls it the decrees of the Lord. Yeah. He's calling it the decrees of the Lord. He's not calling it the decree of Brigham Young. He's not calling it even the decree of Joseph Smith. He's calling it the decree of the Lord. So when Mormons tell you, well, God did not have his hand in that, ask them, what did Joseph Smith say on volume 2, on page 438 at the bottom of the page in the documentary History of the Church? At least Delbert Stapley, a Mormon apostle, certainly thinks that Joseph Smith was pinning it on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it that modern Mormon leaders won't own up to that? Why are they not owning up to that?
Well, it's not politically correct.
Yeah, but it's also, it's not truthful.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be the only true church on earth. And yet one of the things that we find that is a consistent attribute of this church is they're usually not very truthful about what they really believe and what they've taught in their past. And when we do start digging up the things that they have said in the past, they'll always say, well, that was just speculation. That was just an opinion. Is that an opinion from Joseph Smith here? I don't get that impression at all.
Yeah, when you get, and like we said yesterday, when you get a guy named Randy Bott who goes and says what it was, they get all upset and they say, that's not what we believe, and we can't allow a BYU professor to tell us what doctrine is. Well, we're going back to their sources that are original sources.
Well, wasn't that what Randy Bott was doing?
Absolutely, it was.
Why was Randy Bott punished and humiliated by his own church for merely repeating the things that he had obviously learned as a faithful Latter-day Saint in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? He was publicly humiliated by his church.
He was a whipping boy. I mean, really, I mean, he was beaten up for something that was just the truth. And that's all we're asking for here, Bill, is we're saying, tell the truth, be true to your history. And if you're true to your history, and your church really is a restoration of the church from ancient times, then it should all pan out.
Why can't they just be honest? Just be honest. I wonder what went through Randy Bott's head after he realized that he was going to be the John D. Lee of the 21st century. He was going to be the scapegoat for this. Why couldn't the Mormon leaders own up to it?
All for telling the truth. In his mind, how could that happen?
We're going to look some more at this letter by Delbert Stapley to Governor George Romney tomorrow because we think it's pertinent that you understand some of the background of this teaching.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry.